Coming up on Talk is Cheap, we take a call from Eric in Tennessee, and we look at the nuclear scare hoax. Stay tuned on Talk is Cheap. Talk is Cheap, where cheap is talk and talk is cheap. Ladies and gentlemen, another fine edition, episode 111. I knew I had to do this episode 111 because synchronicities. I'm your host, Dan Hofeld. Thank you so much for joining me. And to my left is none other than Mr. Pete.
No, definitely wasn't.
Yeah, I am beside myself because I'm like almost speechless, Dano, because it has been a long time. And we got the original, I guess, Three Musketeers back together again. Yeah. So I want to turn it over quickly and say, Dusty, welcome, man.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
Where's the applause? We want to hear it. Yeah.
That's what I got. Yeah, okay. That's what I expected.
It's amazing the amount of people in the comments are always asking where you're at. So
yes, I actually had a couple people show up on my Twitch stream. We're asking what the hell, you know, like, why aren't you on the show?
I'm
like,
yeah, oh, you got your fan club, man.
Yeah, well,
people don't give two shits. I'm not around.
Well,
so.
I do.
Yeah, well, you do, but you're not, you don't really, well, I guess you're a fan of the show. Yeah, you're one of the hosts. So.
Yeah, I gotta be a fan of it, wouldn't I?
I would hope you'd like it.
God, it'd be a little awkward if I wasn't.
Yeah.
I hate this show. Hi, welcome to Talking Cheap.
Oh, boy.
What are we talking about today?
This is a good episode. Well, actually, we got a caller. Oh. Let's get to the phone caller. Yeah. We always like to
Tennessee, huh?
Listen from our fans. Yeah, we got Eric in Tennessee. Let's listen in.
This is Eric from Tennessee, and I got a suggestion for Dan's little soundboard. What you need is Alex Jones, one of the memes about the DMT. He took the DMT. Look for that. You'll get it.
The DMT, okay.
They're taking DMT. There's a reason they're all whacked out of their minds. They're taking DMT. They were jacking DMT 70 years ago.
Jacking DMT.
It'll feel like 10 times the best orgasm for 3 days if you want straight.
Where do we get this stuff? Is it legal?
The clockwork elves, all of it. I shouldn't even get into it.
That's a good one, Eric.
Okay, so what is DMT?
So DMT is dimethyltryptamine. And Alex Jones made a big deal out of it, but you secrete it at night when you dream. It comes out. That's DMT. You're going into that state. And all it is you're taking a substance to get there. Mm-hmm. And like Joe Rogan did it. They were seeing crazy stuff. Like he said, clockwork elves.
The clockwork elves, all of it. I shouldn't even get into it.
So you can take this and then dream while you're awake.
And have a three-day orgasm. Let's go back. Let's not just gloss over that, man. Yeah.
You'll be able to wire your head in and just get unlimited pleasure.
Is he doing this or Alex Jones? I mean, if he knows so much.
See, that's like Matrix.
It is. Can we watch the language tonight, everybody?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
It's a family show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. That's two.
You should have a cuss jar.
Yeah. Oh, you're giving me a lot extra work in editing now.
Yeah, you know, and with when is the ban lifted?
23rd. So, I do a regular show every Tuesday live.
Yep.
But that airs Tuesdays, so the week after I'll start doing those live, and then whenever we get together again, we'll
sure.
Live, so
awesome. Okay. So anyway, point was I don't want to give him another reason to extend that out.
Oh, exactly.
With too many. S bombs and
I think that's more you F-words. Can't monetize, but still, YouTube is just they cherry pick stuff and it's a mess. Everybody knows it.
Very true.
So today I want to talk about the nuclear hoax, Galen Windsor. Now this is like I seen this, I was like, oh well, whatever. It was submitted by one of our viewers, I believe it was Steve S. Submitted the story. He's like, you guys got to check this out. This is like really wacky stuff. Oh boy. So I want to say right off the bat, disclaimer, I am not like a nuclear physicist. So I just don't take my word for all this. I'm just presenting the material that Galen Windsor came forward with. And there's a lot of stuff here, so let's just look into it and go from there. So a little background on Galen Windsor. I'm going to be showing him throughout the show. He is a nuclear physicist, and he's given lectures on nuclear energy. He's basically doing all these. This one we're going to watch here, some clips from, was in Arizona, in Phoenix. But he worked and helped design nuclear power plants. He worked at the one in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Morris, Illinois. That was General Electric, San Jose, California, Wilmington, New Jersey. He also worked on the Manhattan Project in Hanford, Washington. He was in charge of measuring and controlling the nuclear fuel inventory and storage. So right off the bat, he's got some credentials there. So he's, through these lectures, he's showing that the fear of radiation has been exaggerated to scare people so few powerful people can maintain control of the world's most valuable power resource. This, of course, why wouldn't they want to keep control of this stuff? So in the 1950s, he worked at a plutonium processing. Now, normal operations for that plutonium processing plant, they touched the stuff with their bare hands, without instruments, didn't have any coveralls, and they did have acid burns down their shirts. So, I mean, they're working with this stuff. This is before they had safety measures in place.
Yeah, right.
This should be up your alley.
Yeah, right.
By 1965, he says they processed enough of this plutonium processing to meet the weapons needs for the country 10 times over. So we're talking about a lot of plutonium processing.
Yes.
So one of the examples he gave, I'm a little loud here, I think. Check, check. Make sure I get a clean audio for you folks. A metal fuel element got stuck in one of these reactors and it falls down in the back of the reactor. Then they just went in and kicked it off into the pool. It was smoking and burning. It was no big deal back then. That's what they did. He talked about cesium-137 tanks. You know, they're piped out to outside. And if they ever broke a line, it would seal itself in and make its own glass just because of how hot that crap is. And then they had these big guys with suits come in and go, all right, we're going to be safety cracking down on you guys. You can't be doing that.
Right.
And set some exposure limits. And people that didn't like it, because, you know, you can't teach old people tricks. They like their ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't follow the rules, they were out. And he said some of them disappeared.
Oh, sure, because, you know, again, you're going against established people in markets that have the money, and they don't want to lose any of that money to some other new technology or new idea.
Yeah, we're going to get into a lot of that. So I'll show the first clip. This is wacky stuff here, folks. So Galen Windsor, he eats uranium. Can we just, like, think about that?
Yeah.
And then we're going to watch the video here.
Good Lord.
Oh, this is so good. Here we go.
Material. You pour it out in the hand, and that's radioactive contamination. Is it radioactive? Yeah, it is. Very radioactive. Now, decontamination is nothing but scooping it back up and putting it into the bottle.
Simple as that.
I just now decontaminated my hand. No, I didn't do such a good job. Not good at all. Is it still radioactive? Yeah, that's called residual radioactivity. Now, under the decontamination rules of the government, when you decontaminate somebody like this that's that contaminated, and this is certainly a reportable incident under current DOE regulations, when you decontaminate him, it has to go down a controlled drain so that you don't disperse radioactivity. Do I qualify as a controlled drain? That material.
Oops. That thoughts. What do you guys think so far?
Well, how did this guy pass away?
I don't know. I was just looking up his obituary. He died in 2008.
Well, he must have been a hell of a hell.
He was 82 years old.
Please don't say it was cancer.
I didn't get that far. It
It was Parkinson's.
Okay.
Well, so it was not radiation related.
Yeah. Well, I've worked with
that's still ballsy, man. Yeah. I mean, there's like, you know, you think of Chernobyl, but maybe that.
Yeah, we're gonna get into
concentration
that.
Was probably like a million times worse or whatever. That
when
that
I got my degree in quality control, non-destructive testing, we use iridium and cesium to X-ray airframe power plant airframe parts, and we had a whole class on radiation. Now, my instructor did say something very interesting. We did watch a PBS special on Chernobyl, actually. And they're on a bus, and they're going toward Chernobyl, and he takes his Geiger meter, you know, and he turns it on. And he has one on his desk. And there's three settings of this. And it's pretty much a low, mid, and high. Uh-huh. And we know we get radiation from the sun constantly. There's radiation everywhere. So he showed us that if you turn it to the highest setting, I mean, you can still pick up, you know, your the watch, the things that glow. So your watch, the Timex, that's a radiation. That's the way they keep on glowing all the time. So he showed us that. So there's in the bus, they did the same thing with all these, you know, tourists. He's like, oh, see, there's still radiation everywhere, but there's radiation everywhere. So he was adamant about, you know, the radiation not being reported on the way it should be, in his opinion. He was like, yes, there's radiation everywhere. Hell, you get X-rays, you can have 20, 30 a year, you know, and all that sort of stuff. We had to wear the pen and the little hexagon badge, and they had to turn those in because we're working radiation. Well,
you get a lot going up in a plane, too. Just because you're
getting it all the time. So he was really it's not as dangerous. But at the same time, there was also a video or pictures that back in the day where they had these sources, like people were assholes to other people. Excuse my English. No, I apologize. It's his words, not mine. I'm quoting. But they would take these little iridium sources and they would, you know, like one guy put it underneath the seat of an inspector. And he ended up having half of his butt cheek removed because radiation poisoning, because it just radiated.
Did he have any side effects from that?
Oh, I'm sure he sat awkward when he sat on the toilet, you know.
Well, I'm not from the removing, but I'm talking about, like, radiation effects.
That's all he knew. Okay. He told us a lot of horror stories, but back in the 40s and 50s, you know, maybe 50s, 60s, I'm not sure when he was doing it, but I know about that time. I mean, as an inspector, he was like, you know, the most important thing to be is really courteous. Don't ever walk out and just say we're shutting it all down, because he literally has had his lug nuts welded together and his tires all popped because he'd shut a, you know, area down. He said no one's going to work in here. He was really new to it and he thought he knew everything, and they taught him a lesson. Well, then there's also these other lessons. One guy, one inspector took it home with him because it's just it's a silver aspirin. I mean, the long Tylenols.
Yep.
That's all it looks like. And we wheel it out and it's a tube, and then it comes up and then there's a lead. I don't know how to explain it. It's just a little lead-like pencil with a shaving in it, so the radiation shoots out. Then you put your X-ray on the backside, and it shoots through there, and then you got to do the math to figure out how long. And then you have an X-ray. We go into a dark room, and we'd pop it open and see if there's any cracks inside of this material. And this was all for airplanes because, you know, it's an airplane.
Yeah, yep.
So they talked about a guy that took that home, didn't think anything of it, pulled it out of his pocket, threw it in the junk drawer, radiated the whole family. Dog died. I know that much. Wife and children had to go get medical treatment. He had to go get medical treatment. And because it was in that junk drawer, it just, you know, it permeates radiation. It's a wave, you know, like light, but it goes through stuff like X-rays and everything else. I mean, it just kind of kept on going, and the whole house radiated. So, I mean, yes, there's definitely a situation here, but it didn't happen like that.
Yeah.
So I can understand where he's kind of going with this, but at the same time, don't eat uranium or cesium or cobalt or... Any
or
other
lead.
Heavy,
yeah,
or lead.
Yeah.
Any other heavy thing. Or asbestos. I saw that on TV once. That was interesting.
Let's finish up a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. This is weird.
Eight.
He goes in for a second one.
Is
no, he's been not chargeable in doing this all the time.
It's been this. It's it was fired originally at 940 degrees C, where it becomes U308. Known in the industry as HCl insoluble. In other words, it will not dissolve in concentrated hydrochloric acid, hot. Your stomach has 10th normal hydrochloric acid in it, so it won't even dissolve. The stuff is so fine that it has no texture to it. It doesn't even feel rough. So it's tasteless, odorless, has no texture. How's it supposed to hurt me? Because I've been eating this on lecture tour for 2 years, the state of Washington felt it necessary to confiscate my uranium samples so that I would be safe. Dr. Fulton from the Hanford Environmental Health Foundation called up and he says, hey, I heard one of your guys OD'd on uranium today, Galen. And we talked for a little while and he says, oh, that was you. And I says, listen, I can eat all that stuff I want. He says, it'll ruin your kidneys. How are your kidneys? They're fine. Well, you should have been chelated within 4 hours. And I mean, you guys are going to follow me around the country and give me chelating agents every 4 hours after I eat it on lecture tour? He says, we'll give you any medical assistance that you need, Galen. We don't want anything to happen to you. I said, did that include turning out the federal SWAT team 4 days ago to get me? Where are these guys coming from?
Okay. So this is, oh man.
Okay.
It gets better.
So we're gonna. Gets better? I thought this is the top of it right
this
here.
This gets better.
So he's got doctors basically saying he should be dead or really sick and he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I've heard of having a lead stomach because you could eat anything, but this takes it at a whole new level.
Okay. So.
Iron stomach? Isn't it?
Oh, maybe it should be a lead stomach. Maybe I was playing too much Fallout.
Could be.
That's a Fallout. Sorry. Gamers will know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Fallout 4.
Yep. Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
Thank you.
I thought that would get brought up during the show. All right. So we do one better here. So now he's going to be swimming in the spent fuel rod.
Oh, are we going to see him? Is he going to wear one of these old-timey one-piece swimsuits or anything like that?
He's got the rubber over
him. Yeah, the rubber man on.
Oh my God! Let's watch
the horizontal striped old time
store spent fuel bundles that won't stop. 660,000 gallons of water, demineralized, just as clear and pretty as it can be. Heated to 100 degrees Fahrenheit with an outside temperature of -20.
This is a
building.
It's a spent fuel rod pool.
Okay.
Where they store them after they're done.
So that's like an aerial view of a large building.
Because they keep burning for a long time, so they got to keep cooling them down.
Sure, yep. Okay.
So, yeah.
Wind chill factors down to a -60. And I found out that I could swim in that rascal. You turn off the lights at night, and it had a light blue Kurenkoff effect.
Kurenkoff.
And this kid from Nevada that never could pass up a warm swimming hole used to go swimming in that pool. There wasn't anybody that had the nerve to swim with me, but since I was manager of safety and analytical service at this plant, it was mine to use. Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
I found out that I could do that. I showed some financial types one time that I could stir that pool with my bare hand and check out through the same radiation monitors they did without triggering it. GE didn't like it. I got a letter from him that says, thou shalt not tell financial types that you can swim in the pool, that you can stir it with your hand, because if they find that out, they will steal the inventory. They will know that the inventory can be stolen. Oh, is that an valuable inventory? The same material that's labeled high-level waste by our current government.
Boom.
There's a reason they're all whacked out of their minds. Oh, they're taking DMT.
So they're stockpiling this valuable commodity or resource somehow, like playing a futures game with it or something,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Hmm. You're getting right where he's trying to get the story.
So they say, hey, it's dangerous, don't touch it, but you can't, you know, but it's really not that dangerous. Because if you and I think that if we go in there and we're going to die, we're not going to mess around trying to steal it, right?
Exactly. You're so afraid of it that you're not going to want to touch it. It's better than a lock and key.
Is this like another alternative energy source then? Is that what is, I mean, like this spent fuel rods or whatever?
Oh, it's the same as what we got for nuclear power plants.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Same thing. And we still got one better here, so.
We can top that too. This guy's a superhero.
That you swam in this water that was straight from spent fuel used to cool that fuel, and you swam in it.
Yep.
You told me earlier that you went a little bit beyond that. Would you share a little bit of that story?
Well, swimming in it didn't have the desired effect. So I decided I had to be more direct with these people that were giving me trouble. They're kind of hard to teach, so I went to drinking a glass of it a day.
Uh-huh.
I had the bottle of it. Last time I went swimming, I filled this 2-liter bottle with water and washed it off on the outside in the shower when I washed me off on the outside so that we didn't tattletale. You know, radioactive material is just a trace or a tattletale. So you got to get it off so they won't know that you've been swimming in the pool and drinking the water. So I took this bottle in and set it on my desk. And who would suspect that the manager of safety and analytical service had a bottle of spent fuel pool water sitting on his desk and he drank a glass of it every day.
Oh, my God.
This was unheard of.
Nobody ever did that crazy stunt before.
How has that affected you, Galen?
Well, as near as I can tell, it made me about 6'4" in my cowboy boots, 210 pounds, and really quite a nice fellow.
I like that.
So there you go.
That's really good.
And don't mind this other head growing off my back or whatever.
Yeah, we're gonna get into all that.
I grew a tail, you know.
This is crazy stuff.
He's got a very unique sense of humor, but so what's his point? He just wants to share with the world that this isn't dangerous?
Or maybe that... Yeah, he's basically saying that it's all a hoax portrayed to make people scared of it so they can keep the oil people, can keep the cost of oil up and charge an outrageous amount. And stuff. Like you said, play the futures market.
Yeah.
Huh. So what I did, I went down to I've got a radiation detector here myself.
Do you really?
I do. Geiger counter is what they're called, the right name for it. This is a inspector radiation alert. Now, I got this when we had the Fukushima scare.
Oh, okay.
Because I was one of those prep people that was like, oh, crap, I better do something.
So you can measure the radiation as it comes in?
It clicks when you hear when it picks up a radiation molecule or whatever the hell you want to call it. I mean, that's not the technical term, but...
Okay, can I see that for a minute?
Oh, sure.
I mean, is it on? Is it working?
It's on, yeah. It's making the clicking noise. I was going to do the snow.
Oh, did you hear that? What the hell?
He put it next to his chest, started going even harder. You should have seen your face. Yeah, you're going to have some residual radiation.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I should have checked the snow. It's snowing. Well, it snowed yesterday here in Wisconsin, folks, and it does come up a little bit because that stuff's coming down from the atmosphere. But it's been a while since I went outside and checked it.
Wow. Okay, that's cool. When was the last time it was calibrated?
Oh, I had never calibrated it, so it's probably due. But they say you're supposed to do it every year.
Okay, yeah.
But that gets, you know, pretty expensive or whatever. Oh,
yeah. That's my alien implant.
Oh, yeah, should I check too? So I went down to the... the local nuclear power plant here. Got some uranium myself. I ain't gonna let Galen Windsor have all the spotlight here, folks. So let's do a little bit of this. Oops, watch my language.
Yeah, no kidding. Wait, let's hear it.
Terrifying, ain't it?
I didn't hear.
Watch this.
I didn't hear anything.
How's that pepper taste?
Is that black pepper?
It's pepper.
Oh, my God.
As soon as he said what it was, I looked down. I was like, that's sand. And then he licked it. I was like, nope, that's pepper. Oh, my God. Oh, how's that going to be?
Yeah, how'd that go, man?
Well, we know the pepper is safe.
Okay, that is definitely
pepper. It's all over my super. Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh my God.
He licked pepper.
Did you eat it all, or did you just
put it? I wasn't going to let Galen steal all my thunder.
Oh, yeah.
Dan attempts uranium.
Well, you should do the cinnamon challenge next.
Oh, we did that once before.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Andy's the only one that could keep it all down.
Oh, okay. Actually, yeah, I don't think I participated. I filmed.
Heard that about him.
Oh, no comment. Like I'm cleaning again. Okay, so.
I want to see you snort a line of that uranium.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was going to do this.
Yeah, snort some.
I was going to do that at first.
Black pepper, Christ.
Holy cow. Well, it gives me a nice little kind of a refresh.
Well, you're a little bit flushed.
Yeah,
now.
I can imagine, yeah. You know, that
makeup. A little red in the face.
So reusable. Okay. So he says, Galen Windsor, that reusable uranium fuel
which they quote as high-level waste. Keep in mind, this was in 1986, that contains useful metal isotopes, and it was worth $10 million a ton.
Ooh.
So when you think about that, he said this other time they had undissolved uranium metal, so they had a chunk of this, and they were just tossing it back and forth in the lab with their hands. This was 90 days once it came out of the reactor. And he says nuclear reactor plant. Are we saying that right? Otherwise, we're going to get a lot of hate. Nuclear or nuclear?
Nuclear.
Nuclear.
Yes.
Well, unless you're British, then it's the other way he said it, isn't it?
It's not spelled nuclear.
I always nuclear. Said nuclear. But
yeah, nuclear. But it's nuclear.
Is it like nuclear? Nuclear?
Nuclear.
Now that we've said it 100 times, I'm just going to murder the hell out of it.
Either way, we're going to have somebody arguing about it in the comments.
I just want the British to
give us a call, Ben. Let us know.
So he says the nuclear reactor plant is just the way to boil water. It should be under the same insurance policy as any other steam plant, and that insurance companies are just doing this to make money and rip people off. He says people in Congress know about this, but they ain't gonna play that game.
So what you're saying though is that basically we shouldn't be afraid of like a nuclear meltdown at one of these plants.
We're gonna get into that because I'm gonna break some of these other ones down.
I keep screaming Chernobyl. Fukushima. Yeah. I mean, come on, you know, right?
Well, he died before Fukushima, but right. He did talk. But I found an article. Oh, we'll get into it.
Yep.
Okay, so. He says a nuclear reactor plant can explode like any other plant, no atomic explosion.
Mm-hmm. Sure, any plant can blow up, right?
And the biggest thing is with these nuclear...
these plants.
These atomic...
these atomic plants.
Yeah, these atomic plants.
Get away from that word. when they start these up, they do them 50 degrees at a time an hour. So okay. 50 degrees and raise it up 50 degrees. And I think what he was kind of getting at was where they get that explosion is when they... Shut it down, all that cold water goes in there and you're trying to bring it down hundreds of degrees that so quickly you're just it's
sure
boom.
Well, look at like concrete explodes if it goes through too quick of a temperature change. You always hear about highways and blown up asphalt.
That's why you don't start a campfire on a cement pad.
Yep.
So yeah, they bring up Three Mile Island here in the video. I thought I would play a clip from that because it's very very good question about it here.
Nothing happened there except that the owner, the operator, and the regulators conspired to turn it off.
What melted?
The top of the fuel rods, the third time that the core got uncovered, due to internal pressure, blew the top off some of those rods. They've got Inconel springs in them to keep the fuel pellets from vibrating when it's running. Those things are under compression, and when they reduced the outside pressure, and the fuel rods were still hot, it blew the top off some of those fuel rods. The fuel rods in TMI-2 are internally pressurized to about 1,200 PSI with helium gas so that they don't reverse dent when they're hot and running for 5 years. And when they drop the outside pressure, why, that internal pressure with those hot rods blew the side out of some of those rods at the top. But melting? The fuel is already an oxide ceramic. It is a pellet. It's been pressed into a ceramic. When you pick it up and feel it, it feels like metal. It's pressed so very, very tight, hard. And so, no, the fuel didn't melt. The China syndrome is a scriptwriter's fantasy. Right here, I'll tell a story, I guess.
So he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Am I not...
To a layman, right? Yeah, like someone that doesn't know how it works. Right. Yeah, he seems intelligent that he knows what he's talking about. But.
But what?
Oh, no, well, I don't know. I was waiting for a but there. I thought, but he really wanted to. Some crazy guy that just showed up off the
street.
This
video is an hour and a half. I suggest everybody watch it. I have not seen anybody that wants to pick up the baton and run with it after him, though, either. So it's. He's saying some, like. But he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Like I said, I'm not saying that I know what I'm talking about because I definitely don't. That's why I'm saying it was I had that disclaimer in the beginning. And he said the people at Three Mile Island, their biggest fear was Galen going in that plant and starting it back up and showing that it would run.
That it was yeah. Just fine, yep.
Okay, so Chernobyl, you brought this up. So he says Chernobyl was, that reactor was converted from a 2.2 uranium dioxide fuel to a 0.2 U-235 to a metallic uranium core as a heat transfer intensifier so that they could get 1,500 megawatts instead of the 1,000 that it was rated for. On the 25th of April in 1986, they got a leak and the uranium metal reacts with its cooling water, especially if it's hot, and takes oxygen away from water faster than it takes away from the air. And this means there is free and very explosive hydrogen gas being generated left over from taking the oxygen away from the water molecules. He says they had a hydrogen fire involving nuclear material, and they should never have had uranium metal in that damn plant. The other unit had 2.2 uranium dioxide in them, and that's the way they were meant to run. And not only that, the 1661 vertically tubed boiling water reactors could be theoretically refueled online without taking the plant down. And the interviewer says, it sounds like sabotage. Galen says, well, of course it is. It's sabotage in the nuclear effort. And Exxon and Royal Dutch Shell and Atlantic Richfield all got their sticky, dirty hands in it. If you had nuclear doing its thing, then there wouldn't be any market for oil.
Funny how the oil guys keep messing with energy, right?
And that was that I just read. I had to look for that. It was in the Spectrum. I'm going to put this in the link if you guys want to find it, because that's what I was looking for. I was like, because when he was doing his presentation that we were just watching there, that was in 1986. It must have been just before Chernobyl happened. But Chernobyl was 1986 and
yeah,
maybe it was 1985 that was in. Maybe I screwed that up, but it does say that it was shot here in 1980, filmed in 1986. But he doesn't talk about the Chernobyl event in that one. But they talked about Three Mile Island, so I'm assuming it was before. Anyway, I searched the internet far and wide and found that article there, and found them talking about Chernobyl. So there's just a lot of questions here because. You can also look at, and he does bring this up, like you got people like Warren Buffett here. He invested in a plant that was in Fukushima. You know, it's not in the exclusion zone, but still it's over there. You got Barack Obama swimming in Hawaii water that could very obviously very well contaminated by Fukushima. And that, yeah, that company for Warren Buffett that he invested in was Tongole. They make parts, but that's over in Fukushima. He's the chairman CEO. And he says, okay, so what about these nuclear waste containers? Because we hear, you know, they put this stuff in there. They put it, dumped a bunch in the ocean, like over by Africa. The stuff's burning, they say. Don't touch it. Stay away from it. Well, he says, well, what's actually in there? He speculates that there's dead bodies, evidence, whatever they want to hide.
Because that way, no waste in there.
No one's going to look in there.
You know? Yeah, right? Yeah.
He says large reactors are not the way to go. You should have a small one every 10 blocks. And the whole depleted uranium and 50 cal shells, that was so the Army can use these. And they basically blow through tanks and they just take the oxygen out of there. And
they become sharper when they go through armor. Depleted uranium. It leaves a white residue. You're not supposed to get anywhere near it.
See, that's...
Allegedly.
I sure the hell ain't going to walk up to it.
Yeah.
Because you hear about all these... Wasn't there a bunch of soldiers getting cancer and stuff? And kind of... They figured it was depleted uranium shells and stuff that were causing that.
Well, yeah.
That could be from the reaction of the explosion, though, too. When you shoot it and you get that in the air.
Well, I suppose the depleted uranium, it's so... hard that way, it actually hits the armor, it starts shearing off the sides, it makes it sharper and sharper and sharper, so it just gets all the way through.
That's crazy.
So then you have that white residue, which is that depleted uranium's come off. Now, the guys I've talked to, because being, you know, I actually have two VA appointments next week, so I'll get to spend a lot more time with these old guys, and then some of these younger guys too. And I talked to a couple guys in infantry, and they told me that they didn't even know about it. They were shooting depleted uranium shells, I mean, you know, shells, not rounds like a 50 cal or anything else. But they were shooting shells, and then they didn't tell the infantry, or at least the two guys I was talking to. They said they walked up to these things, or walking by them. They didn't know what that white shit was, you know. So then they were concerned that maybe they were gonna, you know, develop
get sick or something. Whatever, yeah.
But then again, I've talked to other guys who are like, oh, yeah, this thing's worked wonders, saved many lives. So
one thing I want to bring up is there's actually uranium on rocks in Saskatchewan. You can go out there, pick them up. This really? Is in Canada.
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm familiar.
Well, it has to be a certain type of uranium, though. They have uranium-192, uranium...
Yeah, like I said, I'm not that well-versed in all this stuff, yeah. But...
I think, and I could be wrong, because it's been a while since I've ever dealt with this, and I've been in college, I guess, but I thought we dealt with uranium-192 and cesium-something else, and that number is... It's refined to have that many. I want to say electrons or
so. One's atoms actually or manufactured by us.
I think all.
So it's not natural.
Yeah, I think you can literally go out there and, like you said, pick the shit up and take it out. It's going to be radioactive to you know, of course. But then to get it to you know uranium-192, I don't think you can actually just find that. And if you can, it has to be really rare. I think we take other uraniums and then we refine it to create the iridium, you know, 192. That's the one I know offhand. So I don't, you know. And I could be wrong. Like I said, it's been 10, 12 years since I've been in college for this. And I only dealt with it a little bit when I got out of college to work for a lab. And then I bounced back here to Wisconsin. And I haven't found any jobs up here that want, you know, a guy that's, you know, radiation tested. But, yeah, so I'm not 100%, but I think that's what it is that we manufacture it so it is that way. And, like, yellow cake uranium and the weapons-grade uranium, that's a different type of uranium altogether, too. That's why it takes... a nuclear power plant to create the, you know, to create that type of thing. Mm. So I'm wondering if, like, yeah, the radiation that they're talking about, like what he's talking about, it might actually be true. It might just be, you know, it might be safer than it really is. Because I know the weapons grade stuff, I mean, that's not something you want to deal with.
Right.
You know, it's probably the farthest from that we want to deal with. So I wonder if that's because they manufacture it to be more and more and more progressively lethal.
Right.
And then we put that in a nuclear bomb. Yeah,
you bring up a great point. There could be different stuff, types, whatever going on.
I really think there is,
that's why it gets really confusing like that. But, okay, so also in that video he brought up, you know, what about mutations and all that? We hear about this stuff. He says if cells get too much radiation, it dies. It doesn't mutate. He said Nagasaki and Hiroshima, immediate effects by pregnant women. The embryo showed, like, measles-like effects. You're talking rash. You know, they would get diarrhea, headaches, swollen lymph nodes, stuff like that. But it wouldn't be passed on to the next generation, like they always claim. And that's one thing I want to bring up here, too, is you go and you look at stuff in Chernobyl. There is tons of wildlife.
Yeah, wildlife plants back.
It's crazy. I don't see, you know, you can find little deformities here and there, but like you can find it anywhere in nature. You can find a cyclop goat in India.
And you have a really good point, because I was just watching something on Chernobyl a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about, it was these urban explorers. Love those guys. They're awesome. And they had to take a tour, of course. You don't urban explore in Chernobyl. But they went through there, and they toured it. And they'll gladly give you tour, you know, guided tours. I mean, they've been doing this since, God, at least the late 90s, been giving tours. I mean, two reactors are still up and running, you know, and they serve them lunch, and they go out there and look at everything, and they have to be tested, you know, and the food is brought in. They don't, like, leave food laying about and whatnot. But they're talking about how wonderful this whole area has become a refuge for all these animals. And I say, we don't eat the damn animals. Don't drink the milk coming, you know, out of the cow type thing. But I have to agree. I thought the same thing. I'm like, wait a second. If this stuff is so dangerous, you know, then why the hell is this growing so well? We don't have mutated plants. You don't have, you know, a head growing out of a tree or anything like that. But then again, is it the right, you know, did the radiation, did it blow away? Did it go into the outer atmosphere? Did a lot of it settle? What kind of it is? And there's so many variables that we don't know. But I got to say, I was questioning the same thing. It's like, it's so poor, you know, it's so bad.
Do you know off how many years off the top of your hand? 2019, take away 1986. 33 years. So,
and they say you can't live there for the next 10,000.
But there's people living there. More. There is people living there.
People don't live in Chernobyl.
Yeah, they do. They're right by it. They're really close.
Well, I think the nearest place is like 30 miles. Because you have to bus in.
Actually,
I thought they were raves in Chernobyl.
There is people living in that's the exclusion a little different. Zone.
Yeah, I mean, are you talking about the squatters and those types of people that wanted to get away?
There's older people that live there, and there's actually a mother that's raising her younger daughters there. Oof. And it's like, you think that it would be bad, but I just watched today, coming out here to present, I was like, let me look up some Chernobyl videos. You got showing the wolf population. I was like, I don't see any deformities. They look fine. Yeah. Where does it stop?
I suppose we'd have to ask whether or not the litters in were larger, smaller, average. Because I think that would be more where you're going to see it is the development of an embryo to be, you know, I think you'd have more problems with that, if you know what I'm saying. Like the radiation, I think, would affect a cell more than it would affect, you know, because we're big and we've made up of many cells. Right,
but you got the small wolves that are just developing fine, so.
Yeah, so I don't know, maybe, I really don't know. Like you said, you got to be a specialist in this, but and we're kind of speculating.
Right.
But I agree. I think there's a lot of life for something that's supposed to be so radiated.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I will agree with that.
I think they blew it way out of proportion, but.
I'm Google image searching, like, mutations caused from Chernobyl.
But they can make stuff up, too. I saw people photoshopping two fish together. I saw literally a picture. That's how some dumb people think you are. The ends of two fish to get the mouths together like this, there was no mouth. It's like, there's no way that thing can eat. It's not going to live. So, criminy. So I do have his obituary on screen for folks. He did die in 2008, July.
That's too bad.
It doesn't say the cause on here, but I looked up that it was Parkinson's.
You can still send flowers to this day?
I wish he was still alive because he talked about he wanted to get one of those nuclear sub-reactors from the government. And he said, I was going to generate power for my whole community. He said, I'll save him $5 million. It cost him $5 million to dispose of him.
Now, the conspiracy here actually makes sense, though. Because, I mean, I'll get behind that. Spent fuel rods still fuel rods, you know, and they're not 100% spent. I'm sure there's ways to recuperate that kind of energy. Mm-hmm. I did watch, this was two, 3 years ago, there was a lady, and I haven't heard anything since, and that always scares the hell out of me, but she's a scientist, and she figured out a way to take these depleted uranium rods and everything else and run it back through a refinery and then suck out all these heavy metals and everything that we can use now and de-radiate them so they can be used. Now, the machine was working with, you know, fine little bits of you know, product to create these heavy metals and these refinable metals. And that one machine took up, I would say, 5 or 6 big rooms. I mean, it was a very large machine. She said, so if we did this on a scale to get rid of the nuclear waste we have, it would take a mile-long building to put it in there, keep refining it and everything else to get this pure metal that you can touch at the end. I haven't seen anything about her lately, so I'm not 100% sure if she's even, you know, around. But the conspiracy that the oil company wants to keep us under the thumb of, you know, their thumb. I agree. Now that as long as we've been doing this and interested in these types of things, the government and the oil companies, pharmaceutical companies, these major companies that make billions of dollars are constantly at the fault of these types of things. And I have to say that seems plausible. I really think that could be true. I'm not going to eat radiation. Right. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go out there. Someone's like, here's your salad, sir. Would you like a little radium-192? No, I'm all right.
But so that video I showed him eating, that one was from 1986, supposedly. Maybe it was 1985. But 22 years. So he should have had some kind of
liver failure, kidney failure.
Yeah, for exactly. Lymph nodes, something. Had, yeah.
So there's some people on both sides of the fence. Some people are saying he's part of the nuclear industry, trying to push it that it's being safe. And other people are saying that he's just trying to, obviously his side, which is the oil companies are trying to have that control. And that makes perfect sense. Because if you have unlimited energy, he said he could sell 1 kilowatt hour for a penny. That would be.
Well, how many nuclear power plants do we have in a world? In the world, how many nuclear power plants do we have to have?
Oh, Jesus. I have no idea.
There's got to be hundreds, thousands? Maybe right there. How many have failed? We know of Fukushima. We know of Three Mile Island. We know of Chernobyl, the ones we've talked about.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you think about that, that's probably a better track record than, say, flying and having your plane crash, which is one of the safest ways to travel, they say, is planes. So I can see where he's saying that, you know what, maybe we should invest more in nuclear. I can see that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Although, me personally, I'd rather see tidal, solar, and wind, but, you know, hey, each their own.
450 with 60 under construction.
Yeah.
So we'll call it 500.
And some of them are being dismantled. Three Mile Island's supposed to be, is it this year? I think this year they're supposed to close the whole thing completely down.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, there might be some propaganda in that, and I can agree with that.
Well, there's politics in it for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
No matter how
big money. And then he also pointed out that you got the president went in there. Jimmy Carter went into Three Mile Island when it was supposed to be contaminated.
Oh, really?
What the hell?
He was a man's man. He knew what he was doing.
But again, it's exposure time too. But
and Jimmy Carter is what, 192 by now or something like that?
Didn't he? He isn't passed yet.
No. Doesn't he? Is he still? Bush, he's still building.
He went to the Bush funeral.
Yeah, and he's still building houses. Yeah. And
you're right. Maybe we should all take a trip down the old Three Mile Island.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, Dan.
Well, thank you guys for joining me on Talk Is Cheap. Like I said, I'm no expert here. Take it for what it is. I think there's something here. I like to look at it from both ends. Like I said, there's no one taking the baton up, but
it could be a death sentence if somebody does.
Exactly. We'll see you guys later. Talk is cheap. Out.
Cheap is talk. Talk is cheap.